Okay, yeah, the Javes. So Don Day took care of Javes. But I don't know where he is on this family tree, because Louis Garnsey married Edith Day, and that's how the Days and the Garnseys got together.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no record of anywhere of a Don Day, but I know he existed. And was he actually a day
from the Days? Or?
That's what we don't know.
I mean, his name was Don Day. I may have made assumptions that he was part of the Day family, but I thought.
Well, I would say so only because he owned that piece of property that was right that borders us between us and Arterby.
Yeah, but that happened probably in the '60s. Mom, we're talking going back. So who was the grandfather that walked into the pond and drowned? Which one of the Garnsey or Day walked into the pond and drowned? Himself.
And that was in the pond that they had in the 60s?
Well,
in 60s, that's when they had the big reservoir, you mean?
Yeah, up on.
I'm not sure it was the big reservoir. No, I think it was the pond that's actually in front of Phoebe's house.
Okay, yeah, there was a pond there, yes. And one of the grandfathers did that?
Committed, well, as Edith Mitchell told me, was that he committed suicide, went in there and drowned. But I believe he was a Day.
Well, that wouldn't have been Gramp Day.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been Gramp Day?
Yeah, I would think.
Oh. Because he's buried. Gramp Day is buried in the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the graveyard, the marker, that has his name backwards, but spelled out correctly. And it's actually a homemade,
So somebody made it and then poured it or something, and
yes,
then it did it backwards.
I think he did it on purpose because he was a character.
Oh, okay.
He was supposed to be a real character.
I guess so.
Okay, I'd never heard that story about. Maybe that was that
so
could
I
have
mean,
been.
I'm trying to think of any other stories.
I want every story you know.
Well, the one thing
I know one out there where I call it the Butler Ranch, but it's not the Butler Ranch anymore.
Yes.
And somebody lived up there, and Fern Creek had enough water in it. He had hooked it up to a DC generator off of Model A and took a headlight off of a Model A, and that was his house light.
Huh. Well, there was a Frank Day owned that property first. It was a Frank Day, then the Broads, then Butler, now it's Van Ginkle, and there was somebody in between the Butlers and the Van Ginkles, and I'm going to talk to her about that.
Yeah, don't you remember that, the demolition group that came out here? They bought the camp retreat, they bought that, and they bought some other piece of property out here, and within a year they were bankrupt and gone.
Oh, the three girls?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I know one of them.
Yeah.
No, it was before the girls.
Oh, before the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember the girls bought the camp retreat.
But it was before them, the someone else. See, that's what I'm trying to trace.
Yeah.
All the properties, and I'm going to have a map up that over the years we can write in all the people where they were. And so I'm finding out all these names because we know where the peoples are now. Like I just recently learned that Frank Day owned that property from a plat map. From the 1912. And so then we know that was the property then. And then we know, and other people have traced it back. Reagan had a trace. She said this person was this here and that person was there. And that's the concessive owners.
Who did you find that from?
Who?
I mean, what you're just saying right now.
From Reagan.
Wow. Oh, from Reagan.
Reagan. She wrote a letter to Teddy. Okay. Teddy was asking about this, and she wrote the letter to Teddy. So I have that, I'm going to document. I'm going to have on this, I'm going to get a website.
It's funny that I don't see the Shaver name along here, and there was a lot of them,
a whole lot of them. Yeah, I need to know Shaver. I need to know where they were.
Mm-hmm.
I have an idea. I think Rock's property. Was or where
yes,
the Klein's
Mary Shaver. was Rock. Mary Shaver owned Rock's property.
Oh, okay.
And then my father is Galen Shaver, who owned where
Barassas
are now. They sold it. Well, there was in between, there was people in that. I can find out who was in between, because they bought it from Garnsey, right?
Yeah, your father
My father bought it from Garnsey.
Right, I think when they started dividing up properties and
the 70s, yeah.
And I don't know, Woosley's property would have been in that.
Yes. Woosley's.
And I'm not sure how far it went up the canyon there, because...
Well, they're up the canyon. I think the Days had bees up the canyon. That's been documented. In fact, I need to talk to Danny's and Danny's father, Danielle, because Felix took us up one time up that road and said, this is where they had the bees up here. And there was a house up there. And I think just a little bit of a chimney was left. I mean, that was when we first moved out here. So,
And then the other stories were about, like, the old Swede that was the gold miner out here.
He was Swiss. He was from Switzerland. I have that documented.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just saying. And then his whole story, you know, and how he died, I swear somebody killed him.
That is a rumor.
Right.
But I think somebody told me that he was, I think it was actually, I've talked to Wright, and okay. He said he was lighting his stove, and he was using kerosene. It got out of hand, and he died in that fire. And everybody says he was murdered. But according to many, many other people, it was he.
No, that's how he died. But the thing was, it almost sounded like his potbelly stove exploded. Was what I was sort of led to believe.
Maybe
not saying that he didn't pour kerosene in there.
Uh huh.
But it was more like, and supposedly, as the story goes that I heard, was his Model T engine quit working, so he took it out of the car. He put it under his arm and he walked to Fallbrook.
I've heard that.
And they said, well, it's going to cost X amount of dollars to fix. And he whipped out his bag of gold dust and measured it out and said, there you go. And then he, shortly thereafter, the gold was never found and he was dead.
I don't know. Yeah.
And I always said, I wanted to go to that rock house and check every rock in it and find out where he hid his gold.
Yep.
Is that Lang's now?
No, that would have been...
No, it's not Lang's. It's up the road.
Yeah.
Jan Rolls has shown us where that property is.
Yeah.
And we know where it is and have new owners now.
Yeah, it's going up for sale again.
What is?
That property.
That property where it there's a lady named Barbara Bisbee.
That's familiar.
Bradford. She lived in town, but her son was one of the partners. She had 16 partners that were working that mine, and they argued so much they just gave up. But she said they were getting. They were getting a decent amount of gold from that mine and from the quartz.
And that's up on top of the hill above where the rock house is,
yes,
correct?
Yes, that's right.
Because I heard there's even rails and rail car up there, or there are carts.
It could be.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Rod Goodman told me that...
That's a snake.
He said he went up there one day and he said there's 12 snakes curled up there. He said, I ain't walking into the rock pile.
Yeah, well... That's not unusual out here.
Well, I can fill you in on all the Shaver group.
Please do.
Because I'm a Shaver.
Yes. Can you write it all out for me?
Yes, I can.
Nice thing like this?
Yeah, on that. I can do that.
Because that would be
really
helpful.
There were quite a few of them. My father was a twin.
All right.
Uh-huh. And so he owned, and I thought he bought it from Garnsey, but he owned where Barajas is.
Mm-hmm.
And then his twin brother owned the Durling Ranch.
Oh, I was wondering the history of the Durling Ranch.
Yeah.
So the Durlings got it from the Shafers?
Yes.
So that's just that one
Where, yeah, the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The what? Not the one next to us, or the.
Well, and then across the street was Roland Shaver, who was the older Shaver, and he owned what was the ranch across the street. Tad owned it for a while. It's right directly across the street from Durling, from the entryway to Durling. You would go in that entryway.
Oh, you mean where Jennifer is, the Hammerton?
No. Way down at the Durlings.
The other end of the road. Yes. And in that road.
And that was the older brother Shaver owned that one.
Uh-huh.
And then the one right next to the camp retreat was another Shaver who was Roland's son. And he owned that place there where there's a nice house on it.
Uh-huh.
And he owned that. It's right by the camp retreat. And a Shaver owned that.
Oh,
there was
okay.
a bunch of them out here.
They
came down from L.A.
Uh-huh.
And they found this Shangri-La, and they all moved down here. And my father bought the property when he was stationed in New York in the Navy.
Uh-huh.
And he bought it sight unseen, but his twin brother told him it was okay to do it. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good.
But many, many, many weekends out here with the Shaver family because there's so many of them. And then Mary Shaver was the one who owned the Rock Place.
Ah, okay. Yeah,
that's an easy one because it went directly to Rock.
Yes, good. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
Also, Aunt Ida, who is the little house next to the Garnsey's Ranch,
mm-hmm.
she also had a piece of property that was close to the camp retreat over there.
Right, and I don't know.
And it says M Day on one of the maps, but her name was Ida. Maybe it was Ida May Day.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And she after her husband died, I think this when she moved into that little house next to her that they called Aunt Ida's house.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much.
So, is that the one that became the camp retreat?
Maybe so. I don't know.
I don't know much about the camp retreat except the people that worked it, and they didn't own it.
Right.
And I'd have to get those names from the kids because the kids, it was so different out here when we were first out here because I let the kids go to the camp retreat all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they went down there, Mary and well, it'll come to me sometime.
I know.
Who owned it. And they were really great with the kids. They
uh-huh.
always kept ice cream, and you could go down there and get milk, Band-Aids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they always had a little store where you could get the minimum. And then Budweiser became the dealer out here, and it was the only place in the county that Budweiser delivered to.
Really?
Was at the camp retreat. And it was became a, well, it was a great place for the workers out here, because
sure.
they couldn't go to town in those
right.
days. There was no, they were all illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And they could not go to town. I was talking to my daughter yesterday. We were laughing about it because we moved up here from Hamul, and we brought two guys with us, and they lived in that shack down at the bottom of the hill. And we were laughing because the first day up here, they wanted to play softball with these guys.
Sure.
So they had a steel fence post and a basketball. That was their game. And so the first pitch of the basketball went like, hit the post, hit Jeannie in the head, and we had to take her to town to get stitches.
Oh, no.
And that was our first experience, but we laugh about the, shall we play basketball with the fence post and the basketball, play baseball. And we paid those guys $4 a day.
Wow.
And I went to town for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to, George came one day and he said, Gail, they want you to get some clothes on. Remember Ports?
Ports.
Okay, well, Ports is a store that's, it's on the corner. There's a jewelry store in one corner, a paint store that burned down.
Yes.
Rexall, and then Ports was there. It's now a girls' dress shop.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Port got clothes for everybody.
Uh-huh.
All of the guys out here, if you wanted boots, whatever you wanted, you'd
uh-huh.
go to Mr. Port. Mr. Port would get clothes for them, shirts, whatever.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But one day, George came and he said, Gail, they want you to get them some underwear. And I said, well, I can get it at Ports. They have boxers and tidy whities or whatever they are.
Uh-huh.
And he said, no, they want bikini silkies. And I said, you've got to be kidding. He said, no, that's what they want. And I said, I guess I'll go to Macy's and see. So I took the girls with me.
Uh-huh.
And Macy's had a men's section that had two entryways to go into where the men's section was. And so I posted the girls at each door, and I said, I'm going in to get bikini silkies. If you see anybody we know, come and tell me. And I found them. I found purple. I remember I found purple and tiger. They were thrilled.
Oh, that's how funny. How funny.
Yeah. But we did everything for them.
Wow.
And, you know, everybody out here did. And when you would go to town to go to Safeway, I think is where most of us mm-hmm. went. Mm-hmm. And you could see people who you knew had workers because they'd yeah. have big bags of rice and big bags of beans and tons of tortillas.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But then they started going down to the camp retreat, and it was great. They mm-hmm. needed a place to gather.
To get little, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And
yeah.
a lot of times some of them drank too much, but it...
I was out here.
They needed it.
Yeah. And they worked hard.
Mm-hmm. But Budweiser delivered out here.
Wow. Mm. See, all these little stories
yeah.
would get lost.
Yes, they would.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're doing this.
Yeah. Also, Scott Gordon mm-hmm. lent me all the records, the school attendance records from that school mm-hmm. from 1890 to when it closed in 1967 or 8, 66. So I've gone through every single one and made a database of all the people, what their names were, who wow. their teacher were, how long they went to school here. So I was, because that's a way of telling me who was yes. here when.
Yeah, Jeanette Rolls graduated from there, didn't she?
Yes, she did. There. Yes, she did. Mm-hmm. But there were several districts. There was the Tenaha District, there was the Duluth District, and there was the Recluse District. Do you know anything about the Recluse District?
7603503.
I was going to call the school district and ask them about it. I can't tell them that Scott lent me the records, but I can say, you know, I've seen some records out
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
Who and they actually had when I got all the censuses from 1990 to 1950. And there was actually on the census people who were mm-hmm. in the Recluse area, and those names match up with the ones on the attendance.
So I wonder when the school district purchased it. Fallbrook.
What the?
When Fallbrook purchased it.
I don't think they purchased it.
Oh, it was part of.
Just called it.
They called this the. They had the Tenaha district. They had the. Deleuze, and those mm-hmm. were all, you know, they were all the people that were having
right.
the school. And then there was this one little area that was called Recluse.
Hmm.
And then the people, Freeman was one of the names in there. You know, there's just like several families, and on one of them that said they met on Saturdays. But I don't know if they met every Saturday, because they would have the attendance, and people would be going all through the week.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have to ask the school district if anybody knows
yeah.
why, where it was. I'm trying to figure out where did these people live on what, because on the censuses, they'll say they did it in order of the houses, and but they had addresses, but they didn't match any of the addresses that match they
okay.
had now,
mm-hmm.
of course, because this used to be all rural route. I think rural route 1.
Route 6.
Route 6,
box
43.
That's right.
Don't remember it today.
Yep, that's right.
Can't remember what I ate for dinner the other night, but I remember that.
That's right, that old address. Yeah. So, but that, I don't know how that matches up
yeah.
with the addresses of now. But you can see they would go down this person, not home. But they would, then in parentheses, they would say who the owner was. Or come back later.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they had
mm-hmm.
little notes
yeah.
and stuff, so.
How interesting.
So I have all the censuses of who was out here when.
So, and the only other thing, so the cabin that used to be across the river from the back gate of Camp Pendleton.
Uh-huh.
You know where I'm talking about?
No.
The
back gate of Pendleton. I know where you
You make that turn. You make the turn.
Yes.
And there's a gate right there.
Well,
yes. If you look to the right, there used to be a cabin up there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that Ron Hammerton's grandfather...
Becky Days lived up there.
Well, I don't know if she lived there, but maybe she did originally. But that cabin belonged to Ron Hammerton's grandfather.
Oh.
Ron Hammerton's mother went to Duluth School, graduated from Duluth School.
What was her maiden name?
You might have to ask Ron on that.
Okay.
I'm just giving you some...
Becky
Day? But she wasn't... I don't think she was a Day from... I don't know, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is his grandfather owned that because...
Yes, I do remember that.
That was just something that I didn't realize until a few years ago how long Ron's family had actually been part of Duluth. Because, you know, I mean, his father owned... Well, he bought that place from... Did he buy it from Guernsey or did he buy it from...
I thought you said something about that. I don't know. I'll ask.
Well, and then I don't know how Durling, the first part of the nursery, I think they probably bought that from Guernsey too.
I'm not sure of that.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how far it goes down to where Law's property is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't know. I just don't know some of that history. I mean, I know it's been in the Law family for three or four generations.
Huh. Because he's not shown up on anything so far. The Laws haven't, but...
It was kind of a mystery who Law was for a long time. We always wondered who owned that property. We'd
mm-hmm.
hear it was Law.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now that they're moved out here, nice man.
Well, I'll have to talk to them, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might have some history. I'm not sure. And then Klein, Richard Klein, because his father owned that property before he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the miniature horses, right?
Well, he had the mules, or I keep hearing different stories, so I don't know what's true, but he had mules or horses out here.
They were miniature horses.
Well, you would know better than I. Because
I'm sure of that, because he's right across from Grandpa.
Right.
And they knew each other.
Right. And then Matthew's property, I don't know much other than Matthew's had it when we came out, which is now Terrabella.
Yeah, I think Matthews is on some of the old stuff. They've been out here a long time.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
A long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I have plat maps from 1912, and then this one was 1889.
Now Chris and Kathy.
Caught.
Okay.
Oh, Chris and Kathy Evans.
Evans. Now, Chris has done some research going way back, supposedly.
Oh.
And he said that the Indians and the Spaniards would not come into this canyon because of the bears. The bears were so bad in here that they couldn't come in here. And actually, the Spaniards were the ones that, when they brought the horses in, would come in and they would rope the bears and pull them apart with horses.
Oh.
And that's how they dealt with
the bear problem.
The bear problem.
Huh.
Now that's going back, I mean, that goes back way back, but I don't know where he got that information.
Uh-huh.
He was just telling a story that he'd been reading.
That's probably
articles.
Someone that you might want to contact me soon, because Chris Evans, do you know where the Racer House is?
No.
Okay, when you're coming down towards here, when you start down the dirt hill on the left-hand side that's all fenced, that's Evans.
Evans, okay.
Mm-hmm. And they're getting ready to move.
Oh,
so I don't know that. Last time I talked to him, he said the market had changed quite a bit, and he wasn't sure.
Well,
you think he's going to put it on for 90
Could
days?
Could you give me his phone number so
mm-hmm.
I can contact him?
Yeah, I don't know if I have it in my phone.
Anyway, but...
yeah, I can, for sure.
Good.
But I think with somebody, if he is leaving, that would be... a good one to talk to.
Okay.
Yeah. And then...
And who was that other person that you were talking about that just told you that... Was that the Evans that told you that story?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, Chris Evans...
Let me...
Well, you're recording?
Oh, yeah. I'm recording. You can just tell
360-870-2525.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I believe that's a cell phone number. I don't know. So that's what I have for that.
Something just crossed my mind, and I can't remember what it was when you were talking about Hamerton.
Well, I mean, his mother had been out, I mean, she obviously grew up out here and went to Duluth School, but mm-hmm. I don't know what her maiden
Hamerton's
name was.
Hamerton's was, yeah.
Ron Hamerton's mother.
Okay.
And
oh,
obviously
I actually
his grandparents,
know her name.
Obviously, his grandparents lived out here because they would have been, that would have been how she went to school here, I would think.
That's right. I think he actually told me when I was talking to him about it, but I will ask. I remember that he talked about her and how, yeah.
And then she passed away out, and I think that he met a nurse that was helping take care of her, and I think he ended up with that nurse.
Oh.
And then Mr. Hamerton, what was it, about a year and 2 years ago? It was right before the pandemic, because he came out here, mm-hmm. and it was his birthday, 80th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out here, and then I think it was about 2 years
later.
Soon after that, Good. I understand that, I mean, I know Edith told me that she, you know, that big oak tree that was in our front yard,
mm-hmm.
she says, the engines knew this tree. And I understand that they actually camped up on where Phoebe's house is now.
Yeah, I don't know much about.
And they came for the acorns here.
Yes.
Right, they actually loved the acorns on what was called Oak Slope, which is that if you look towards the plateau,
uh-huh.
there's a like a lava flow that came down,
yes.
and it has all the angle oaks going
mm-hmm.
up it.
Yes.
That was the things, and there's actually, the trail is still, I don't know about today, but I mean, it's probably still there, was the trail from, they were a coastal Indian, and they came up here every year, probably about this time, I would assume, and harvested all of that, and
mm-hmm.
then they would head back to the coast.
Do you know what Indians those were?
Well,
it was with the Lusueños?
Well, the Luseno Indians were all around this area.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know where the grinding stones are down at the corner?
That no.
Okay, well, right down here at the corner, the hard corner, if you go
mm-hmm.
left, you go to Temecula. If you go right, you go into Fallbrook. Right there on the right-hand side, there's huge grinding holes. But the people that live in the corner house are very territorial.
Mm.
You don't want to mess with them. And I don't know if we could ever get in and see them, but I mean, some of them are this deep.
Wow.
And they're,
wow.
I used to take the kids from the school. When I was at the school, we could go over, but then they got
right.
funny. And they really, nobody really seems to know much about them out here.
Uh-huh. Right? Yeah, I know. I understand they were the Lusueños, because they were attached to San Luis Rey Mission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was their language group. So they you know, knew everybody by their language group.
Right, right.
And they were the Lusueños. So I want to include that part of this, who owned, you know, when the property is. I also had found an article that said that the boundary lines were, they didn't survey it. And the Fallbrook, Rainbow, and Duluth area was this little triangle that was not on on anybody's radar. And that's why the homesteaders could come in here and homestead, because mm-hmm. They weren't officially part of any of the rancheros from mm-hmm. the Santa Margarita ones, from the Pio Picos. And I found that in some obscure little... You know, I've been finding all these little obscure little articles, different places, that had different stories.
Right.
I'd never heard that before.
Well,
but,
the Vail Ranch would, I don't know when that was founded and all of its history, but Vail Ranch obviously came all the way up to the Riverside County line, but then, like you said, probably was not included.
It wasn't included because it hadn't been surveyed, mm-hmm. and it was this one little place that people could homestead because it wasn't officially on any of the rancheros.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was Camp Pendleton? Obviously, that was a ranch.
That was one of the rancheros.
Okay, mm-hmm. and then it got taken over. So did the U.S. government just take it over, or is that how?
I read it somewhere, but I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay. I have a book on that, too, because my dad was stationed at Pendleton, so and they lived at Pendleton. Uh-huh. I got married at the ranch house on Pendleton. And when we had the big floods, remember we had the terrible floods?
Yes.
It washed, practically destroyed that chapel.
Oh.
And then they had weekends where you could go out there and they would show you how to make the bricks and they rebuilt it.
Uh-huh.
That was 95. Was that the big flood?
93.
Yeah, 93. Yeah, big flood. Boy, I wish we had some of that rain now.
Oh, I know. Oh, we need it so bad. So
well, tried the other night. We're out there in the garden. You probably heard me screaming and yelling, going, "Come on!"
Right. Yeah, we had thunder.
It's just enough to spattle dirty the windshield.
Yeah, we didn't. I didn't see any of it.
I didn't either. But we coined a new word in this area because we have a thread with just the people around here, and so somebody accidentally wrote splots.
Oh.
And so I said, "Well, that sounds like lots of dots with space in between." So now we call that kind of
some splots. Yeah.
It fits.
Well, when it hit the cars, it did splot because all the dust on them. Yeah. This is big old
polka dots. It was big dots.
Do you remember what year you came out when ashes were spread? I don't remember what year that was. I know you came over when we spread
No, I missed out on that.
Were there.
Well, then I don't remember it.
Yeah.
I just remember the whole story of what happened, and the whole thing. It's just
unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, Carol. Mm-hmm. I actually remembered her last name, so I called her, and she, because I didn't know who all a lot of the peoples were in the graveyard. It started where I wanted to trace all the people in the graveyard. That was it.
That's how those projects go,
right? Yeah, grew. And then, so I contacted her, and then one of her relatives had researched all these people, so I could fill in who these people were. And so I've been in contact with Carol. And I need to, in fact, talk to her again. One of her sons was stationed at Pendleton at boot camp.
Oh.
And she said she might come down sometime. And so I need to call her and say, please come, because she says she has lots of pictures of Edith and stuff and more stories.
Oh.
And I want to get them, because I have very few pictures of Edith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stella Shaver, who was Gaius, the one that owned Durling, was one of Edith's best friends.
Ah.
And when she would come down on the weekends, I'll never forget this, because they were like a bunch of kids. They smoked.
Uh-huh.
And so they would have one cigarette, and they'd go out. They had a quince tree over there, and they would go sit under the quince tree and pass this cigarette back and forth.
Uh-huh. We still have a quince tree.
Do you?
Oh yeah, it's in our garden.
Nicotine didn't kill it.
No, it's not dead yet. It's not as happy as it used to be, but
Edith would, and then during the summer she wouldn't go outside and smoke. She'd smoke at the kitchen sink, and cuss and swear, and they go, "Pardon my French."
And I remember when we met her, we had a Jeep that was left at the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all got in the Jeep and drove over, and we've been out here a short time, and she came out with a shotgun. She was a character.
She was.
And Art was too.
Uh-huh.
I love that lady. I mean, and then Greg drove over on his motorcycle one time to see her.
Uh-huh.
And she chewed him out and said, "I guess you said get on the back." And she said, "I will not get on the back of a motorcycle unless you bring a sidecar." And we had a friend who had a Messerschmitt with a sidecar. So he took it over there and drove Edith through the canyon in the sidecar.
Oh, how funny.
She was a great lady.
Yeah.
She was.
Yeah.
I found an old Western garden book.
Uh-huh.
An old, old one. You might have it because I gave it to her. I found it at a garage sale, and it was one of the older ones. It had some cutouts from newspapers in it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's still, if she left it with her books.
No. Unless she left it with Carol.
Oh, I don't know.
No, she didn't leave any books.
Oh, she didn't leave any of her books?
No.
Oh, I thought she might have.
Those shelves are empty.
Oh. That's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have liked to get to know her better.
Yeah, she's...
Yeah, and I think Karen Shaver is the daughter of the people that own the Durling Ranch. And she's kind of a historian, and I think I would put you in touch with her.
Okay, good.
Because I think she'll have a lot of information of what happened down at that end of the canyon.
Yeah, good.
Because they were out here long before we came out here.
Uh-huh.
And then my dad wasn't out here right away because he was still in the Navy, and he was in Pendleton, so.
Uh-huh.
But Karen, and then I'll just tell you, she lost her brother this week, so we might wait a short time before you call her. But I'll give you the number.
Would that have been, the one that was married to one of the Durlings?
No, it wasn't one of them. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always thought that would be good to talk to,
Peggy and Don.
Peggy and Don would be good people to talk to also, because they would have some of it.
And they moved into the little house that my aunt and uncle built and came out on the weekends. And then they built their nice house up on the hill. But they lived in that house that was right on the ranch.
Ah.
Yeah. And they would have a lot of information. I don't know if it would be interesting, but about wells, too. Because they were...
I'm going to make sure this is going... I would hate it. Oh, it's still going.
How long will it go?
Oh, it'll go on. I'm going to stop it.